Welcome to the J.P. Shadrick Podcast. Today is Tuesday, August 29th, and this is a weekly look around the Jags organization. It's the final week of the preseason. The Jaguars head to Atlanta for Thursday night's game against the defending NFC champion Atlanta Falcons at the brand new Mercedes-Benz Stadium. We'll have a little preview of that ball game. We'll hear, though, mostly today about the quarterback battle and players' reaction in the locker room to Blake Bortles being named the starter in the regular season opener against the Houston Texans. But first, we take a look at the past week for the Jaguars, and yes, it is all quarterback. Chad Henne started last week's game against Carolina with Blake Bortles working in the second half. Both had all of their reps with the first-team offensive line. Henne played the whole first half and would have had three and outs to start the game, but he was bailed out on a fake punt and then led the team down the field on that second drive for a one-yard touchdown run from Chris Ivory. There were some moments and throws for Henne that stood out, including a 37-yard pass to Allen Robinson late in the first half. It was a mixed bag, and that's kind of the feel from Henne in the postgame locker room.
There were some good things. Obviously, first and second down, we didn't take care of like we wanted to. We left ourselves in a lot of third and long situations, which is very hard to convert, especially with this defense, good defensive line. But overall, you know, I think we can score some more points. We can run the ball a little bit better and, you know, throw the ball better.
Bortles started the second half, but he only threw three passes in the first 11 snaps of the half. There was a three and out, followed by eight plays and a punt. On the third drive, the first pass, the first snap, was an interception. And he later connected with Shane Wynn for a four-yard score and led another touchdown drive late. This one a one-yard score for Jonathan Grimes, and that was Bortles' final series of work.
You know, it's like any other preseason game or any other game in general. There's good stuff, there's bad stuff, there's stuff to fix, there's stuff to celebrate, and I think, you know, we still have a long way to go and have a lot of corrections to make, but, you know, I do think we're headed the right way.
There was no clear definitive answer for the starting quarterback after the game. Even among Jaguars analysts, with their opinions of who should start for the Jags under center, almost split down the middle. In Jaguars postgame on the Jaguars radio network, pride of the Jaguars running back Fred Taylor opened the show answering the question, who had the better night?
Blake played like Blake and Chad played like Chad. You know, check downs. This is what they've done. Check downs. Chad, he protected the ball. The team won turnover battle in the first half. They didn't turn the ball over at all. Didn't really look well moving the ball that much. But they did get 10 points on the scoreboard, so that's a positive. Blake, what we've seen, you know, three and outs, do something okay, make a deep, nice throw, and then INT or something. I don't know. It's just a lot of the same. Nothing really just completely stood out. So I think still got a race.
After a day of deliberation, Doug Marrone made the announcement Saturday.
I made a decision to name Blake the starter. You know, the first thing that I look at is to make sure that, you know, who's going to give us the best chance to win in the situation, you know, that we're in. I look at everything, not just the quarterback position of how we want to play and what we want to do. I think Blake has the ability to, you know, extend plays for us, which I think is going to be helpful in what we have to get done. And I think that, you know, I talked to both quarterbacks today. I talked to players on the team. And, you know, we need the work, and we're just going to get ready to get after that work. We got less than 2 weeks to play and get ready for our season opener.
For Bortles, he knows the starting gig will only last as long as he plays well.
You know, I think anytime you get named the starter, it's a cool feeling, it's obviously. But I think, you know, it doesn't change anything, doesn't change the mindset. As of now, I'm promised the first snap with the first group today at practice. And after that, who knows? So I think it's a constant effort, as it was a couple weeks ago, to try and perform, earn the respect of the coaches and the players through every snap, and going out there and doing and proving that.
The locker room opened on Saturday to the media, and the team had plenty of response to the news, including wide receiver Allen Robinson.
I actually just heard, you know what I mean? He's been our starter. I mean, for me, again, it's about going out there and making plays, you know what I mean? That's really the only thing that crossed my mind. Kind of give us a little bit of an advantage to kind of get most reps with one guy. I think we'll be solid, you know what I mean? I know there's been some ups and downs in this preseason, you know, but I think it's a lot of plays out there to be made.
Wide receiver Marquise Lee.
You know, we got the opportunity now to work towards the first game, first week. So that's the best part about it. It was quite hectic, around here, you know, with that thing going on and things like that. But as far as us, it didn't really affect us. You know, us as receivers, we know we still got to go out there and play. I'm very confident in all three quarterbacks, honestly, when I said it the last time. I've been around Blake for when I got here. You know, he had flaws here and there, but at the end of the day, I feel like he can go out there and make it happen. We got some things we need to correct, and we really got to sit down and really correct them if we plan on doing anything this season.
Veteran tight end Mercedes Lewis.
Both of those guys are going to push each other. I think, you know, in their own rights, they're both good quarterbacks. I think that, you know, for Blake to, you know, have the job and know that, you know, he has the job. And I was talking to him off on the side today in the walkthrough. It's going to be important that he goes out there and just does his thing, you know, and not worry about what the outside is saying, because you can't really control that. What you control is just leading his team. I think that's the most important part. Whatever happened before this point, let it go. You know, in a couple of weeks, we got to be ready to roll. So the preparation is going to have to be big. And, you know, he's just going to have to step it up and get ready to do this thing.
So the quarterback is decided, and now a different angle. And, of course, leave it to Pete Prisco to go there. On Jaguars Monday Radio this week, we reacted to Pete's Monday Musings column on CBSSports.com. In that column, he wrote about the state of the Jags organization. But then he lit up the team for the history of missed draft picks, especially at the quarterback position.
I didn't care. You really think I killed the Jaguars?
Crushed
today?
Here's the
headline.
Here's the subtitle right here. Jaguars should have signed Kaepernick. Patriots will be fine. In a quarterback league, no franchise has proven more inept at drafting passers in the top 10 than the lowly Jags. That's before you even get to the damn article.
Well, on the app, it says Pete Prisco, Jags are doomed with Bortles.
That's not what I said. I didn't write
That's
that.
The editor.
That's not what I wrote. I wrote, I did the research. I went back from the merger to now, three teams have drafted quarterbacks in a span of 12 years in the top 10. Okay? Mm-hmm. The Bengals did it, right?
Okay.
Well, the last one they drafted was Carson Palmer, so they hit him. They missed on the first two and hit that one. The Titans did it, and their last one is Mariota. Looks like a hit.
Maybe.
Yeah, it looks like a hit.
For now.
Okay? The Jaguars did it, and their last one is Bortles. So if Bortles doesn't suddenly miraculously become something that he hasn't shown, then that means they busted out on three top 10 quarterbacks, and it's never happened. The only team to have it happen since the merger. That makes them the worst drafting quarterback team in the league. Can you argue that? The facts are there.
Can't argue statistics, I guess.
Right, Tony?
Are you reading this live on the air?
He is. Yeah, he is. It wasn't that bad, was it?
It's
vintage Prisco.
It's not nice.
Leave it to Pete. Check out the podcast and archive of Jaguars Monday on Jaguars.com or subscribe to Jaguars Radio on iTunes. Speaking of quarterbacks, third-string quarterback Brandon Allen should get some play this week in Atlanta. It's been a long preseason of sitting off to the side of a quarterback battle, but now it's finally a chance to go out and put something on film.
You know, I think it's the pretty much the last opportunity for all of us that don't get all the reps in practice or anything. It's our last opportunity to go and show what we can do in a game, and I'm excited. I know a lot of our guys are excited, and it's also a lot of fun when you get to get in the flow of the game. You know, instead of coming in late or something, you get to get in the flow of the game, and this could be your last opportunity to show the coaches, show what you can do, put it on tape, and get your name out there.
That's the hardest part, right? I mean, you're sitting there cold for three quarters maybe, or even later, last game out, you get one drive at the end to come out, get hot, and try to do something offensively is tough to do.
It is tough, but, it's kind of just the cards you're dealt. And, if anytime you're a backup, that's what you're asked to do in a real game. So there's no excuses there. It's tough to come be cold and get in the game and perform, but especially as a backup, that's something you have to do. You have to get ready for.
As a quarterback that has seen this battle between Blake and Chad go on the last week or so, what have you learned from that? Is there anything that stands out to you about how it all went down or how the guys handled it? Or what did you see from that?
You know, I think they both handled it real well. You didn't see Blake get down. You didn't see Chad get too high. You know, they both went out to practice, went out in the preseason game, and they performed. And that's kind of what you were hoping to see. And I think once it was, in a competition, you kind of saw the competitiveness come out in a little bit of both of them. And You know, obviously, we all want the starting job. Everyone wants to be the starter, and I think when you see that competitiveness come out a little bit when you're asked to compete against another guy, I think you saw that last week, and you know, I think both guys really did a great job.
Marone added this week that Allen has shown well in games so far, but he's been a little inconsistent in practice. So let's see him one last time Thursday night in Atlanta. Now to the offensive line, and that group is working on a few things late in the preseason. Last week, the Jags were called for 7 penalties as a team. 5 of those penalties were on the offensive line. Jeremy Parnell had a false start. A.J. Cann for holding. Luke Bowenko for holding. Cann for a false start. Cann for holding again. Not a good night for Cann. Penalties were one part of it. The Jaguars, for the second straight preseason game, couldn't establish anything in the run game either. That's the second part. The running backs went for 56 rushing yards on 22 handoffs in the game. That does not count the fake punt from Corey Grant. Chad Henne was sacked 3 times in the game as well. The left guard position going into the game was up for grabs, and it still is the case leaving the game. So a few guys were rolling in there last week and could again in Atlanta. Cann was struggling in the game last week on the right side. And for center Brandon Linder, that's a lot of fluctuation around him on the line. But there's still confidence that this group can get it done up front.
We're just trying to find the right pieces and you know, working well together. I mean, that's what we're striving to do, and this is good because, you know, wherever any of us end up, you know, we'll be able to gel together, you know, because we've had time to work with, you know, a couple different guys, but it's not that big of a deal.
Yeah. The offense wants to run the football. That's no secret around here. In the last couple of weeks, the production has not been there, at least the preseason. Is there confidence still that you guys can get this thing done up front, and how do you kind of change the momentum in the run game?
Yeah, I mean, of course there's confidence up front, and you know, once we have everyone back and we're going, I mean, that's our goal is to run the ball, and that's what we're gonna do. You know, I mean, again, it just goes back to assignments and communication, and that's what camp is for, and that's what we're you know, building towards.
Don't expect many of the starters to go this week in Atlanta. You could see AJ Cann though for a bit in order to get a little more work at right guard. After this week's game, rosters will trim from 90 down to 53, and the cut must be made by Saturday. For Marone, a former player, of course, he started to get a little emotional thinking about it earlier this week, and cuts never get easier.
I was that guy, you know, so I think that's probably helped me a little bit more. I think, you know, when that day comes, I think it's tough because, you know, obviously I think I've been cut 6 times myself, and I know from a personal experience, you know, you sit there and you've worked your ass off and you're in that hotel room or wherever you may be and you just, you know, you go to yourself, you know, tomorrow morning I'm going to wake up and walk into this building that I've been walking into, you know, for so long, and either it's going to be the greatest day of my life or I'm not going to have a job. And it's, you know, you got family, you got relatives, you got everyone pulling for you. So for me, you know, I don't like to hear, wow, that guy can't play. I don't want to hear that crap. I take that personal, you know. I have respect for everyone that's come in, that's done that. I kind of know what they've gone through. And I think that day is, that's probably the worst day of the year for me. And I don't have a problem cutting someone that's, you know, not doing what they're supposed to do or anything like that. But there's a lot of guys that it's, you sit there and you look in their eye and it's hard. It just hurts.
Some deep stuff from Marone there, and a tough task ahead in the coming days to determine the final 53. And waiver claims could play a big role in that final roster. 31 other teams will have cuts as well, so it will be a free-for-all to try to find some last-second upgrades to positions that could use some depth on your roster. The Jaguars are 4th in the waiver claim order currently, with Cleveland, San Francisco, and Chicago ahead of them, and the Jags need to use that order while they can. It resets after Week 3, according to team record and the strength of schedule. The day of and after the cuts will be interesting to watch around Everbank Field. Now to Daly's Place. Saturday, September 2nd at 8 o'clock, it's Goo Goo Dolls with special guest Philip Phillips. And the following Saturday, September 9th, Brian Adams is in town. And the next scheduled show is Zach Brown Band. That's Thursday, September 21st. But remember, in the past, Bold Events has said they plan on having a show the night before every Jaguars home game. And with the first home game on September 17th against the Titans, there could be an announcement of something on Saturday night before that game, and a few other Saturdays before home games in 2017. We'll see how that goes down the next week or two. For the full schedule and for tickets to shows at Daly's Place, call 633-2000 or visit daly'splace.com. A busy week ahead this week. On Wednesday, it's the Back to Football Luncheon presented by Florida Blue and PRI Productions. Players and coaches will split up among sponsored tables in the East U.S. Assure Club, and we'll hear from Tom Coughlin, Dave Caldwell, Doug Marone, and we'll have a roundtable with all three coordinators, Nathaniel Hackett, Todd Wash, and Joe DeCamillis. The Jags travel to Atlanta Wednesday night, and Thursday is game night. Radio coverage starts at 4 o'clock with the Publix tailgate show on 1010XL Radio. And then at 6 o'clock, it's countdown to kickoff on the entire Jaguars radio network. After the game, stick around for Jaguars postgame on the network and the scoreboard show. We take your calls for reaction at the end of the postseason. All radio shows are streamed on Jaguars.com and the Jags app. Until then, thanks for listening to the J.P. Shadrick Podcast.